Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are listening to the PVD cast with John Orlando. Soak it up, suckers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 146. I hope that all of you are well out there as you're tuning in to this episode of the PVD cast, in which my guest is Frank James Bailey. Now, Frank joined me about a year ago, March of 2017, on this very podcast to talk about his creation, Turkana. Turkana is a tale about a young lady, a high school student who's balancing being a superhero as well as being your typical high school teenager. And Frank has put out two books already, and he's back to talk about the new addition that he has to the Turkana universe. So he's going to sit down with me. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to talk about a little bit of his voice acting career as well as his YouTube channel and a few other topics. So it's going to be a fun episode. So I hope that you enjoy it. And with that being said, I'm not going to waste much time. Let's get right on into that conversation. But first, I have to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVD cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Maybe you want to check out something along the lines of comic books such as The Many Lives of Catwoman and Felonious History of a Feline Fatale by Tim Hanley. That was a lot of alliteration, wasn't there? But anyways, maybe you're interested in that book. Well, Audible has it. So all you got to do to download your free audiobook today is to go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm back with Frank James Bailey talking about Turkana and his many other projects. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sitting down tonight with Mr. Frank James Bailey. Frank, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How about you?
I'm not doing too bad. I mean, hopefully here we've had a few technological issues, so hopefully we can get through this without any issues there, any snafus, but it is what it is, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit here since you joined me on the PVD cast last March. You are the creator of Turkana, which
is correct.
A family-friendly comic. So can you give a brief synopsis of the book?
Actually, there's three books now. I've published Turkana Book 1, Our New Home, which was the first book published in 2015. Actually, it was October of 2015, and I think I debuted it like November or something like that at a comic book store in Lima. At that same comic book store, I debuted the Turkana Book 2, which is Dr. Q and the Banana Gun, on Free Comic Book Day in Lima as well. And just last year, I made available for the very first time at the Akron Comic-Con, Turkana Book 3, Trinity's Traps. Now, all this year is mainly going to be plugging that book because I plugged a lot of Book 2 last year. So mainly all places I'm going this year, I'm going to plug Book 2. But what I've been working on a lot lately, I haven't been working on another fourth book because I've been trying to write a show Bible, trying to work on the fourth book. That's not really part of the whole, you know how Rogue One was a Star Wars story?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, Well, I'm kind of making another book, and I'm making it a tiny bit different, but it's still going to be the same world because it's about Turkana's mom. To make a little brief story here, a little synopsis. The first book starts off where Turkana is a princess, and I don't know, she's like say 15 or something like that. She looks like she's 15, but she's actually 150 because she ages 1 year for every 10 years on Earth. And she has to escape her evil mom on this planet called Batacor 3. She has these powers where she can create things that come out as lightning bolts out of her fingers. And when my daughter was seven, you know, she said to me, "Daddy, I don't like princesses anymore. I like superheroes." So I kind of planted the seed of the idea, and that's where it all started. And my daughter's name is Paige, and I made her the alter ego of Turkana. So there's Turkana, then the alter ego, her name is Paige T. Smith. She's a high school student and she has friends. But Turkana, she can make things like constructs with her lightning bolt fingers. You know, they come out of lightning bolts, but they're actually constructs, kind of like Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. And the bigger it is, the faster it disappears. The smaller it is, the longer it stays. And she can't make air, water, or anything living. Like she can't just all of a sudden whip up an animal, you know, because it's a living thing. But, yeah, she can make a lot. She can make a big stick. She can make little tiny bricks, make a whole big wall, you know. But, yeah, if she makes a real big ship, it'll disappear in, like, 2 seconds because it's real too big. But, yeah, right now she is, in the second book, the first book, she was more of an origin story, kind of told where her powers came from, how it works. She was part of a royal family, but she doesn't really want to be that way anymore. She's not a princess anymore, blah, 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 which, again, my daughter said, "I don't want to be a princess." That's where it came with the idea. So the princess thing is kind of pushed to the side. In the second book, she fights her first villain called Dr. Q, and even in the third book, the third villain kind of makes fun of the fact that Dr. Q was an okay villain, but not, you know, super diabolical.
And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you always get that in comics because there are some lame villains. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So
the whole idea was to slowly grow. You know, it's like you don't want to give the biggest bad villain all in the second book. So she's slowly growing. That's why Dr. Q, she was a menace, and she was kind of a bad girl. You know, she was probably in her, 40s or 50s or something, but she had this thing called, it looked like a banana, and it was a spiral laser at you and sucked the energy out of you. So you're like, oh, I'm so weak, and I can almost, fall asleep or something. And I got that idea from watching my kids just run around. It's like, I wish I could have just sucked the energy out of them and put them asleep for a couple of minutes, you know. But the idea was, too, was make this weapon a laser gun, not an actual gun, because it's mainly for kids, but you know, it's kind of family friendly, so it's a laser gun and it kind of sucks the energy out of you. And the third book is, well, you've heard of Deadpool, right?
Correct. And actually the name of the third book, I don't think we've mentioned, Trinity's Traps, correct?
Trinity's Traps, that is correct, yes.
Okay. And so how does Turkana merge into Deadpool, because those are two opposite ends of the spectrum, Frank.
Well, it's not really Deadpool. Trinity is, she breaks the fourth wall.
Okay.
And if when people look at the book online, they can actually see the back of the cover, and the back of the cover is Trinity is actually ripping the cover open and says, "Hey, just buy the book, I'm in it," you know, that kind of thing. She breaks the fourth wall, but she doesn't break the fourth wall like Deadpool, because he's very vulgar and he's very graphic and bloody and that kind of stuff, and he swears a lot. But I wanted something similar to that because I wanted people to experience that without being overwhelmed with all the graphic words and that kind of stuff. So she actually talks to you, the reader, because if you look at all my books and you go to the website, Turkana.com, and you look at the books, the sample pages, you can see there's just pictures there. They're not talking. It's not like a comic. It's an illustrated novel. They're all illustrated novels. But in the third book, there are talking bubbles for her, because she's always talking to you whenever there's a talking bubble with her. So that kind of discriminates the two things.
Did you purposely decide that that's how the third book was going to be? Did you make that? Or was it something that you were playing around with and you're like, I think this would be cool to do it this way?
Well, the whole thing is, when I first did the first book, I made it into a comic book, and I wasn't really good at writing comics. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to write it as a regular book. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't using word bubbles anymore, you know? But I thought, wait a minute, wouldn't it be cool to have, a female villain, kind of similar to Deadpool, but not as vulgar. And wait a minute, none of the creatures talk to you, so why not have her be the only person to have a talking bubble? You know, so that whenever you see a talking bubble, she's talking to you. And sometimes you see her next to somebody and you see the words next to it, but she's not talking to you. She's talking to the characters.
Okay. So yeah. I'm going to go back for a minute real quick because you said you modeled the character of Paige T. Smith off of your daughter. Your daughter's not high school age, correct?
No, she is 11 now, okay. And I told her a long time ago, if this thing ever gets to be a cartoon, I told her way back when I first started that if she had ever, more than likely, it probably won't be the cartoon until she's in high school. I mean, that's if I get a miracle of something, you know, but I'm writing a show bible, I'm writing the pitch and stuff, but I'm spending most of my time now doing that because my wife and I decided we're going to keep our son back for what this is kind of a personal thing, but my wife, so I'm kind of a stay at home dad, for most of the year, the school year.
Okay.
Because my son goes to preschool 3 days out of the week. Two days out of the week, Tuesday and Thursdays, and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, he's here with me. And so I don't get to be down here in my studio until late in the evening. So I still do voice work. I'm still a voice actor. Only the people that have my clients come to me. I haven't been seeking a lot of voice work and auditioning for stuff, because if I did that, well, I'd be overwhelmed with a lot of voice work and I wouldn't have time to do it because I'm watching my son.
Right, we'll talk about your career as a voice actor here in a little bit, because I know for those folks that didn't listen to episode 114 last year, we talked quite a bit about your background, but we're going to hit that real quick. And I just want to throw out there real quickly, people listening, you should go back and listen to the episode 114. But nonetheless, where I was going with that, that your daughter is 11 and being that your character is more high school oriented, where do you get the source material for some of the conflicts and some of the everyday problems that Paige might go through in high school?
Well, I was influenced by other high school cartoon shows like Kim Possible, Danny Phantom, Avatar The Last Airbender, the original Teen Titans. And, of course, a lot of times I watch other shows with teens, like Miraculous Ladybug is another good one, too.
Okay.
A lot of teens nowadays have different conflicts than they did 10 years ago with Kim Possible and Danny Phantom, of course.
Right.
You know, but there's still some there. Like, I haven't said anything, but there's a character, it's like, okay, I don't want to say anything about the character because I don't want people to think, oh, no, I thought it was family friendly. So, but I want every character to have certain secrets or certain conflicts to them.
Okay.
You know, and they're sort of hiding something, but then later on you'll see as the books grow and as the series grows or whatever, you'll see these conflicts come out and they all talk about it and that kind of stuff. And yeah, I just think I had an idea to put something together for one of these characters, but I didn't want to give out a secret just yet because I pawn off as family friendly. And to me, family friendly is all genders, all everything. And I don't want somebody to say, well, that's not really family friendly. Well,
yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, sure.
So, but I'm kind of dancing on the subject right now. If you read the books, you might get the hint.
Okay.
You know, about this one character, but I haven't really said anything about this character yet.
Well, you say read the books. you mentioned read the books, but you're making book one into an audiobook, are you not?
Well, sort of.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that then.
Okay. I decided just to, because I'm a voice actor and I do voice and I also make commercials and stuff. I've produced commercials just recently, like over the weekend, I put Turkana Book 1, Chapter 9 on my Frank James Bailey YouTube page.
Okay.
And I'll probably post it in the Turkana Facebook group tomorrow. But yeah, I just made that and uploaded it yesterday. I put sound effects to it. I had the some of the pictures in Chapter 9. Okay. I mean, it looks like a little movie, but of course I'm reading it, so it's like an audiobook. So you're actually seeing the page go up slowly, and then when I get to a picture, it kind of expands on that particular picture. So there's music in the background, dramatic music, because to me, of the first book, Chapter 9, it was the moment that everything changes. It's the moment where, when you read the first book, you understand because, you know, they land in the early 90s, because they escape mother, they come to Earth, they land in the early 90s, on Halloween Day of all days. But they land on the early 90s, And so she, her dad is kind of like protecting her for the next 20 years because they grow so slowly. They have to go from school to school to school every couple of years. I'm like, wait, well, why aren't you growing? You know, it's like people might think she's not growing. And they had the supercomputer on the computer named Gloa on their ship that kind of helps them, makes a secret identity for them or a new identity for every school they go to.
Okay.
And so when they finally get to this diner in Ohio and Paige is like, I don't want to move anymore. I'm sick of moving. I've been moving for 20 years. You know, I want to grow up like a regular kid. So something happens. And if you would actually go to my YouTube page and watch that audio version, I want to see what people think of it because it's okay. Just chapter 9. It's not the whole audiobook. But I put sound effects to it. I put, you know, music beds to it. I want to see what people think of that particular chapter. And if they like that, maybe I'll make the rest of the book into an audiobook.
Cool. I noticed that while doing some research that you've received lots of fan art
yes.
for your book. What's your reaction to that? Are you humbled by that? What's your reaction to it? How do you feel when you open up something, whether you get it electronically or I assume do people actually send it to you in the mail? I mean, I guess that's an assumption I shouldn't make nowadays. Huh?
A lot of times people come into the group
okay.
and they kind of see where it's going. And then they go, like, oh, so Tuesdays is fan art day, or I call crossover day too. Let's just say there's no new fan art that day and I don't post anything. Well, I'll post a crossover I had my artist, he's from India, and I had him draw up Turkana as a My Little Pony.
Okay.
So it's something fun, something cute, but it's a crossover. I had him do another crossover where Miraculous Ladybug and Cat were actually watching her fly through the sky. You know?
Yeah. I think I saw one with Kim Possible too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think I saw one of those. Yeah. So
again, it's just a crossover idea, but a lot of these other kids are drawing Turkana because they love the character. They love how she has blue hair. Yeah. They love how she has... She's easy to draw. She's fun to draw.
Yeah.
And I am humbled by these kids who want to draw Turkana. And to me, that's a good sign though, because if I have a character that's really it's ingrained in people already, and the Facebook group, which is a fan club on Facebook, it's growing like 100 new members every 2 to 3 weeks. So I thought that was pretty good. It's up to 2,500 members now, and hopefully I'll get 200, 600 soon. I'm hoping to get 3,000 by summertime.
Okay.
But anyway, the people know on Mondays I usually post a video of some sort. On Tuesdays there's fan art. On Wednesdays, I don't really have a den set thing, but on Wednesdays I usually post a meme that says, hey, go to your local comic book store and support them, because Thursdays is Throwback Thursday, because I've been to so many Comic Cons. I throw back to, hey, look, I was at this Comic Con that day and that Comic Con. And then Fridays, I post a sample of one of the books. And I have 3 books to post samples of, so I have lots of samples to show people.
Most definitely. So, what are your thoughts about strong female characters in comics? Since your character, Turkana, is a very strong female character, mm-hmm. When you look at other comic books or even we can go medias and television shows or movies. What are your thoughts about strong female characters in comics?
Well, there's a fine line to draw, because there's some female comics that are very drawn, very, scantily clad.
Sure. So,
yeah. Right. It's like there's boobs and butts and stuff. And like, you know, the same thing with video games too. And that's why I really liked Kim Possible. Even though my daughter didn't like the fact that Kim Possible wore a crop top, that's not her. And ironically, I put that in my story. The girl Brittany loves to wear crop tops. Turkana or Paige doesn't like to wear crop tops. You know, so it depends on the person.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the girl. Anyway, that's another reason where Kim Possible influenced me, because at the very one of the last episodes of the second season, I think it was, she wore the super suit. It was like all white and blue. And that's like, wait, I want Turkana to wear something like that, an all-round bodysuit. This way she's covered up. And similar to that is Miraculous Ladybug. See, Miraculous Ladybug, I thought, was doing it really well because she's all covered up. And a lot of fans of Miraculous Ladybug are out there and really like that her whole body's covered up.
Mm-hmm.
There are some not... I love Wonder Woman, and so does my daughter. My wife's kind of conservative when it comes to that kind of thing, because she looks at Wonder Woman and says, oh my God, she's not wearing anything. That's her suit, you know? There's some people that can pull it off and they're iconic that way. And there's some people, obviously, that I was watching an anime episode. What was it called? It's driving me crazy.
But I think you do make a valid point here. I think yeah. there is that fine line that, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, Wonder Woman, though she is more or less in a bikini, let's yeah. be honest. I mean, but it's still presented in a much classier, like, version of it. It's not
exactly
as skimpy as some of the other female comic book characters that we could mention, you know. So, but most definitely, I mean, I think that is something that is obviously on the forefront in society today, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you really focused in on making Turkana be I don't want to say classy superhero, but that's the best way to say it. Classy superhero that yeah. young girls could identify with and parents could feel safe with your kids reading that.
Exactly, yeah. That's why I made her into a whole around bodysuit. And I want to eventually have some people help her out. Like in the this next book I'm going to make, which is the fourth book, I had my artist draw up a comic page of it. I put it on the fan club. And I thought, you know, it just doesn't seem right as a comic to me. I mean, if somebody else can do it better, great. But I try to put it into a comic world, and it just doesn't seem. But anyway, I had her friend Brittany helping her out fighting crime.
Okay.
And, of course, I put Brittany in a crop top, similar to the way Kim Possible was. And, of course, Turkana's all in a rom bodysuit. And Brittany knows karate. Brittany knows martial arts, but Turkana has the powers. Mm-hmm. So they make a good team.
Okay.
And that's how if the fourth book comes to fruition, it should, that's how it's going to start off with them two kind of, you know, fighting crime of some sort.
So let's talk a little bit about your artist. And I don't know if I could do justice to his name. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Well, it's Ujel. I forget exactly how to pronounce his last name, but it's Ujava. Ujava, I think is his first name.
Ujava.
And again, Ujava. I found him on, I gotta be honest, I found him on Fiverr.com like 5-6 years ago. And he's given me a really good deal for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. But a lot of people, I think I'm one of the very few people that, you know, give him a really good deal, or he gives me a really good deal. And I think he eventually has upped his price even for me, because he's doing this professionally now.
Yeah,
and right. Back about 4 or 5 years ago when Fiverr.com was still around, when it just started, you could buy a picture for like $5. You can buy a voiceover on there for like $5 for like a minute or something. It was ridiculous. But nowadays, you know, if you want a professional artist on Fiverr, it has to be a little more expensive. You have to have the rights to it and all this other stuff. Sure. And it's still cheaper than buying it from, you know, a studio or something. You can get a video made, you know, for a little less expensive than going to like Hollywood or something. But again, it's still going to be not just $5. There's a lot of add-ons.
But you two have worked very well together, obviously.
Oh, yes.
If you put out 3 books and, you know, the artwork is really clean, and it definitely has a very appealing look to it, especially if we're talking, you know, about children who want to take a look at the book. It's very well done. He does a great job.
Yeah, there's somebody at the Akron Comic Con told me it kind of looks a little bit like anime. It just depends.
Yeah.
But when I went to an anime con last year, like, oh, that doesn't look anything like anime. could you please? But I can see some anime influences, and I think to myself, if this ever gets to a cartoon, I hope they at least come close to what he created first, you know?
Yeah,
what he made. I mean, because I was watching recently a video about Butch Hartman, how he left recently Nickelodeon. And he was saying in this video when he left, it's like, you know, you got to be, if you present something or pitch something to somebody, you got to be prepared that they don't want to change things. And I'm thinking, I don't want Turkana to change. So what do I do?
Yeah.
He was like, if somebody says, well, we're going to give her orange hair instead, and she's going to have these, you know, things coming out of her elbows instead of her hand. What? That's not what the fans know.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know how to, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what? That'll be a great problem to have.
Yeah, true. Well, when it eventually happens, yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your background. For years, you were a radio disc jockey.
Yes.
And
started in 1988 or 89.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. And during that time, you really, really loved to write. And you started turning out a lot of scripts and screenplays. But why did that kind of fall to the wayside for a little bit?
Well, I was let go from my Findlay, Ohio radio job, and I started doing more screenplay writing. But then I thought, you know, I still like screenplay writing, and I thought I'd pursue the radio career one more time. And I got another job in Salina, and I was a program director for a while. And then when I got let go from there, I just said, well, I'm just going to shoot for the voice acting stuff. And when I did the voice acting stuff in 2009, I went full-blown voice acting with a home studio and stuff. I tried everything. I tried an ebook. I tried medical narration. I tried, and eventually you figure out what you're really good at and what you're not so good at. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do medical narrations. I'm just not that good at them. It takes me forever to get these real long medical words out. Like, there's another – like, I'll never forget one of my very first medical narration jobs, and I remember the first line, Ozurdex, dexamethasone intravitreal implants, and I don't remember the West. Yeah,
what the heck is that?
It's some kind of something you put in your eye if you have like some, I don't know, it's something they put an injection in your eye.
Oh.
Again, okay. It was just a narration for some kind of medical thing, and it's like, oh my God, it took me forever just to get these medical words out. So, okay, yeah, I can do that, but I'm going to pursue something else, and I started doing more commercial work. I started doing more explainer videos, internet videos, and I started doing podcast openings, like, in world or book trailers too, that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, my recent job for Channel Frederator has been really good because I do a lot of voice work for them. I do Disney's Dark Secrets. I do. I did 107 Facts About Pinking Brain, and the most recent video I posted for them is Then Versus Now, My Little Pony.
So Frank, what about some other memorable past gigs that you had? You mentioned the one, and that was one of my questions, was you mentioned the medical narration. Is there any others that you were like, this is so memorable for whatever reason?
Mm-hmm. Well, another memorable thing I did, it was just a fan site, but I was also doing some voiceover work for a Kim Possible fan site where I played Dr. Draken and Kim Possible's dad. I think I mentioned that in the last interview with you guys. And it was very fun. Again, I didn't get paid for that one, but it was very fun to do. And that's all on YouTube as well because it's a Christmas episode. But yeah, I did the Dr. Draken Shingo, fine. You know? And did Kim Possible's dad for a little bit. And it was fun to get all these. It's almost like a community theater type of thing. That was very memorable. And I did, this is like 4 or 5 years ago, but I did a bunch of commercials for a sports.com. And I had to do all these different. Like in Toledo, Columbus, Ohio State, and everywhere. I had to put all these different schools together. They're all promoting this one particular, and I had to edit them all together. I mean, like take Ohio State out and then put Toledo in there. Take Toledo out and then put Redskins in there. And so that was another memorable one because it took me about a day or two for that one, but I got paid pretty well to put all these different schools into one.com, commercial for this one company.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned a little bit about your YouTube channel. You have on there, obviously, a lot of samples of your work, but also you do some cartoon and film reviews. So
yeah.
What gave you the idea to tackle some cartoon reviews?
Well, the thing that gave me the idea was when I started doing stuff for Channel Frederator, and I started commenting on other people's videos from Channel Frederator, and I also share their stuff too. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm posting something, if somebody clicks on that, my name, they're going to see my demos, great. But they're on Channel Frederator for a cartoon thing. So I want to give them sort of a little entertainment by telling them what my favorite cartoons are.
Okay.
So that's what I've been doing is and of course, every now and then I'll do something with my kids. Like I did What's in the Box with my kids. And so you basically, have you seen the What's in the Box videos
on YouTube? No, I'm sorry. I have not.
It's very fun. It's very cute. The box opening shows to the camera. You're behind the box and you put your hand on top of the box, pull out. Somebody put something in the box. You get to feel whatever it is. But the camera sees what's in the box.
Okay.
So you're trying to figure it out. And it's fun to see that. And I did another one recently because my daughter likes Collins Keys or something. Anyway, he does these fun videos. He's more kind of family friendly. He did something for Disney a long time ago. But anyway, he has a really good following on YouTube as well. And she wanted me to do a food challenge. So we did a food challenge video this a couple weeks ago, and I put that up on YouTube. That was kind of fun, where I think my son Mason got an onion and my daughter got like chocolate fudge or something. Yeah. You open up the lids and then you go, what were you getting? Oh, I got that. Okay.
Well, definitely check out his Frank's YouTube channel. We'll give all those particulars here in a little bit, your website and everything else. And all your other social media accounts and whatnot. If somebody came up to you at one of your appearances, and we'll talk a little bit about where you're going to be here shortly, and they said they needed some advice in getting into the either the voice acting and or the book creation, what advice would you give them?
Well, for books, I tell people this right off the bat. One, know your audience.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to sell books to kids, don't put foul language in it. That's pretty obvious. Right. If you're going to sell books to older people and you make it sound, well, this is that, and that, they're going to think it's for little kids. You got to know your audience and how they read. My target audience technically is kids 8 to 12, but I just call them family friendly. Because it's kind of for all ages. Mm-hmm. And I think with the fourth book, it's going to up the ante a little bit more. It's kind of like the Harry Potter books. The first two Harry Potter books were generally made for kids 8 to 12. But by the next one, it was more of a young adult thing.
Yeah.
So my books are going to grow just like that. So the first three books are definitely family friendly. But the fourth one, the one about Medea, her mom, it's going to be a little bit more dangerous. Because mom is very evil. But again, they're gonna go up. They're gonna get a little more dangerous. They're gonna get a little more. The thrill is gonna be up a little more. So anyway, first thing I tell people is to know your audience. Tell a good story. Matter of fact, I did a video on this. I think it was a few weeks ago or something like that. Because somebody in another writing group mentioned that. They said, "Hey, you know, I've written my first book and blah blah blah," and it's like, but so many people are writing all these different pages, and I comment and say, listen, write a good book. Don't just write it because you want to get the next one out. And don't be in a book assembly line. Write a good book. Because, you need product out there to sell. My biggest mistake so far that I made in writing was I was so excited to have my first book out there. I went to a whole bunch of different Comic-Cons, a whole bunch of different places, and sometimes I wasted money because I went to, like, the Indiana Comic-Con, spent, like, $200 on a table, like, $300 for a hotel, and only sold, like, one book.
Right.
Now, I got out there, people noticed me, but
there are smarter ways to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, as I get more books, I might go back to the Indiana Comic Con, or if I get more books, I might go back to the Indie Pop Con, because that was one of my favorites, one in Indiana. But yeah, start off slow. Make sure you have good quality books that an audience is going to like. Know your audience. And eventually, when you are good and better at telling your story, you'll get more stories out. If it's going to be a three, you know, stories, there's going to be 10 stories, there's going to be a continuation. Know your characters and know which ones will say what. I tell the story, like, a long time ago, my friend helped me out with writing book two, and I had Turkana's dad saying, well, there's no need for homework, now you got to save the world or something. And then this guy says, well, no. Brian would say that, because Brian's a real superhero nut in the books. He's like a big fanboy. He would say, oh, there's no time for homework now, you got to go save the world. See, he would say that, but not the dad would. So you got to know your characters, and he kind of helped me out with that. But, know your characters for writing. Write good books. Don't be a book assembly line until you know your stuff. Don't be worried about, oh, my God, I got the next book out. Know your stuff first, and don't start off by, I go here and here. Go to small places first. When you have a bunch of books, then start going to bigger shows and bigger places to promote your books.
How about some advice for folks interested in voice acting?
Voice acting, I sometimes, not too often, but sometimes I do a voice acting panel at some of the Comic Cons I go to. I did a few of them last year. So far, I have no voice acting panels scheduled this year. But one of the first things I tell people is you need a decent microphone. Like, yes. I use a professional microphone called a Sennheiser 416. It's ones that people use in the industry. They use it in California. They use it in L.A. A lot of people use it. Now, it's not a large diaphragm microphone, but it's shooting straight to my mouth. So if I go to the side, you don't hear me very well. If I go over here, you don't hear me. It's like I have to look directly into it. And I have another microphone. It's a Rode NT1000. It's a large diaphragm microphone. It has a little more bass to it. And I used that for a long time. But, again, it would pick up a lot of sound. It would pick up a lot of stuff. But it's a good microphone, though. And then that one costs around – the Rode NT1000 costs around $350. This – what I'm talking on now called the Sennheiser, it costs around $600.
Wow. Okay.
So, again, I suggest people not to go out and get like a plug-in USB microphone snowball mic, because that's not what professionals use. Mm-hmm. But one of the first things I tell people is you got to make a schedule. You got to know when you're going to do your work. Like obviously right now I'm a stay-at-home dad. So I get to work in my studio and do voice work on Tuesdays and Thursdays and in the evening when after dinner sometime. I don't get a whole lot of time in the evening because I don't stay up till like maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock because my kids would be in school the next day. So, yeah, I know what you're going to do and when. Make a schedule. Kind of like, you know, when kids go to school, they go to math class this time, lunch and that time. So make a schedule. Know your different microphones. I try to stay away from pay-to-play sites, which is like Voices.com, Voice123, those kind of sites. You have to pay to be on the site, and then you audition for jobs, and you might not even get the job.
Oh, that sounds a little shady. I'm just going to say it.
Exactly. A lot of people, I got to admit, I did join those sites when I first started voice acting, because I was drawn into it. And, you know, I got maybe one or two jobs here and there, but, you know, I do a lot of direct marketing now. I mean, I actually look for, I'm good at commercials, I'm good at explainer videos, and that's how I got my job at Channel Frederator. I actually messaged them on YouTube, said, hey, you know, if you ever need a voiceover, let me know. Like, hey, we've heard your demos on your YouTube page. We like the way you sound. So it was that simple.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, as my mom used to say, there's always two answers, yes and no. So don't be afraid to ask. There you go.
I messaged them and they got the job from them. So yeah.
Sweet. Let's talk about some of your upcoming appearances that you're going to be at. Okay. Yeah, according to your website, the next one that you're going to be at is Fantastic Con in Toledo. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
That is coming up in a few weeks here, March 10th and 11th, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. Yes, 10th and 11th. And then the next one after that is I'm trying to look at my calendar.
I think it's Gem City in Dayton, correct?
Gem City in Dayton. Matter of fact, I go to Gem City almost every year. I've been doing that since like 2015. I literally love that show. Now, it's not – they don't like bring a whole bunch of big stars like, you know, William Shatner and somebody.
Right, sure.
It's more of a – it's a really good Comic-Con that they rely mostly on comic books. And 90% of the time, it's really packed. It's a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is their tables for artists don't cost an arm and a leg.
Of course.
Because if I go to Indianapolis, it's like $200 or $300 for a table. There it's like $60 for 2 days.
Yeah.
That's why I never want to leave. I got to go there every year.
How about Fantastic Con? Have you done that one before?
Yes, I've done that one 2 years ago. I didn't do it last year because I still only had the one book. I try not to go to the same place when I only have one book or the same items that I did the year before. Although I did go to Gem City Comic Con last year and still only had the one book because the second book didn't come out until Free Comic Book Day, and that was in May. Mm-hmm. So I had to bite the bullet on that one. But like I said, all this year, it's all about the third book. So.
And last but not least, I'm going to mention this because it's a Comic Con that's near and dear to my heart. You'll be at Space. Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo.
I gotta be honest, I've never been there before. Oh. This is my first time, so tell me about it.
Well, Space is gonna be great. I'm just gonna tell you right now, a lot of great independent creators are gonna be there. I'll be there. My sidekick, well, I'm sure he says I'm his sidekick, whatever. Brian Lyle's gonna be there, and we have a great time. We had an absolutely fabulous time last year. Every year that I've gone to Space, either as a fan or as a participant, it's a fun time. It's a great time. Bob Corby does a great job of getting that show put together. It's in a fantastic venue. The NPAC, or the Northland Performing Arts Center, is a really nice venue. It's got plenty of space. It's got plenty of amenities. It's going to be a great show. And you know, as I was going to mention, you know, it's well attended. And when you're not busy, man, you got the opportunity to kind of go around and talk to other great independent creators and get their ideas on certain things. And it's a fantastic time. I can't say enough good things about Space. A lot of great talented people will be there, and it's a great weekend.
Now, a lot of people in the past couple of years have been telling me, you got to check out Space, you got to check out Space. And it's like, okay, fine, I'll finally check it out in 2018. So I hope you're talking up pretty good, so I can't wait to check it out now.
Yeah, so it's a great time. You'll love it at Space. You'll love it. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're getting up to about 40 minutes here, so let's talk a little bit about some of the places where people can find you on the internet, Frank.
For one, of course, since I do a lot of writing and, of course, the stories and stuff, which is Turkana.com. You can go to Turkana.com and click on the sample page. No, pardon me. You click on the sample page, and you'll find samples of each book, 1, 2, and 3. You'll also find things about the characters as well. And if you click on, like, appearances, you'll find out where I'm going to be. And I think, I haven't done this yet, but I'm probably going to do this sometime next week. I'm probably going to make a fan art page. Because I've had cool. So much fan art throughout the past 2 or 3 years. I think I deserved the fans deserve to have their own page on my website now.
Yeah, that's real. Yes, you know what? I think that's a brilliant idea.
And I haven't done it yet. I've just been kind of preoccupied with other things, but I really want to put that together. Hopefully, I'll have it together by next week.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, Turkana.com. You can also find the Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/Turkana. But just recently, like in the past year, I have a Facebook group now. And if you're into groups on Facebook, which a lot of people are, they don't like the Facebook pages anymore because, if I wanted to advertise, I have to advertise the Facebook page. I don't have to advertise the group.
Yeah.
People have been joining the group more than the page. But still, if you want to join the page, if you like the page, it's /Turkana. The groups is pretty easy to find. It's just the Facebook, it's just the Turkana fan club. And there's over 2,500 members in it now. Every Monday I post a video. Every Tuesday there's fan art. Either I post or somebody else posts it because they like the fan art from Turkana. Wednesdays I just kind of help out other, comic book stores by posting, hey, go check out your comic book store. Thursdays is a throwback Thursday, and the Fridays I always post a sample of the books. And just recently, in the past couple of weeks, I added on Sundays fun fact of Turkana. So I'm going to post those every Sunday now, and because I have 3 books out now, and I just started doing that, so I have lots of fun facts I can put on. And besides, I did 107 facts about Pinky and the Brain for Channel Frederator, and it kind of, wait a minute, there's a lot of fun facts that people might know about Turkana or want to know. So the first one was, yeah, my daughter was kind of an influence and she's the superhero, and that this week I kind of mentioned her again because that part where, she didn't want to be a princess anymore and she don't like princesses, and there's a lot more fun facts I'm going to post on that too, so.
I gotcha. How about your own personal pages for social media? People are interested in getting in touch with you for voice acting, or if they have questions about voice acting, et cetera, et cetera.
My voice acting stuff is pretty simple. It's a personal page. It's frankjamesbailey.com. Matter of fact, I put a link from Turkana.com to the Frank James Bailey page, and vice versa as well, because there's a link on my Frank James Bailey page that says, hey, about my writing stuff. If you want to find me on social media, I'm pretty easy to find. You can actually just Google Frank James Bailey. You'll find me on Twitter. You'll find me on Instagram. You'll find me on Tumblr. You'll find me on Facebook, obviously. I don't use my Facebook like page that much. I just stopped using it recently because, of course, you got to buy advertisement to get people to watch it. So I'm really, if you want to follow me on Facebook or if you want to like or become my friend, that's fine. It's real easy. Just / Frank James Bailey. I'm on Twitter. Been doing a lot of Twitter stuff lately. And I'm on Instagram as well. And I try to post stuff on the YouTube channel. Just like I said, past 2 or 3 months. I think every Wednesday I post a new cartoon video. And I'm going to start posting some new demos on there as well. But that's my, again, Frank James. Everything's Frank James Bailey.
There so you should be at least okay. One-stop shop. Like it, Frank.
Except for Twitter, because it wouldn't give me all the characters. And to there, it's just Frank J. Bailey.
Twitter, you're so devious with your limits and whatnot.
Oh, I know. But I've been trying to get a check mark on Twitter, and I haven't been able to do that, and on Instagram as well.
Yeah,
but
I want to try to get verified too. But every time I ask, I never get a response that I can get verified. I don't know who you got to know or whose butt you have to kiss or how much money it takes.
I don't know.
But anyways, Frank James Bailey, thank you for coming on the PVDcast. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, sure, no problem.
And check out his stuff over on Turkana.com. And again, just find him on social media. As he said, it's under Frank James Bailey. And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Mr. Frank James Bailey. And as I mentioned, he's going to be out on the road here in Ohio, and you should definitely, definitely stop by and say hello. If you happen to be at one of those comic cons where he is going to be, stop by, say hello, pick up a copy of Turkana, or pick up all the books, if you will. And don't forget to check out Frank on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Facebook. So, since we're talking about social media, let me tell you about my social media, if you will. First of all, you can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can visit the Facebook page of the PVDcast, which is simply facebook.com/PVDcast. If you want to shoot me an email, feel free to do so, johnorlando@PVDcast.com. You can get in this podcast a variety of different ways. And I know you kind of already know this, but I'm just going to let you know that, of course, the PVDcast can be got over at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. Or you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and the Echo Network. Hey, but whatever method you use to get this podcast, please rate, please review, please subscribe, please tell a friend, tell two friends, tell a dozen friends, whatever it takes to get people coming on over to the PVDcast and listening, I will greatly appreciate it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent.